Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
Welcome to the John 3:30 podcast. He must increase, I must decrease, is a message John 3:30 invites us to live. Incorporating this into our everyday lives can be a challenge. What keeps your fire burning? We have many wonderful ways to stay close to our faith, whether it be the Mass, spiritual readings, prayer, adoration, or the rosary. This is Catholic Faith Life, and here's our host, Jason Nunez.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the John 3:30 podcast. This is your host, Jason Nunez, and welcome to episode number 87. I have a great guest today. Before we get to speaking with her and getting to learn more about how she keeps her fire burning for our Catholic faith, we're going to begin this episode the way we begin all of them, and that is in prayer. So here we go. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, hear me. From the desire of being esteemed, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being loved, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being honored, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being praised, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being preferred to others, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being consulted, deliver me, Jesus. From the desire of being approved, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being despised, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of suffering rebukes, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being calumniated, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being forgotten, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being ridiculed, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being wronged, deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being suspected, deliver me, Jesus. That others may be loved more than I, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be esteemed more than I, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That, in the opinion of the world, others may increase, and I may decrease, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be chosen, and I set aside, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be praised, and I go unnoticed, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may be preferred to me in everything, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. That others may become holier than I, provided that I may become as holy as I should, Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Alrighty, we're going to go ahead and get to this week's guest. That's Sandy Wagner. Hey, Sandy, how are you?
I'm good, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Good.
Thanks for taking time out of your day and sitting down and recording an episode with us here.
I'm excited.
Yes. If you can do me a favor and share with us a little bit about yourself, please.
Sure. As you said, my name's Sandy Wagner. I'm a native of San Antonio. I've always said I'm grateful my mother didn't name me Rose, being a native of San Antonio. Graduated from Robert E. Lee High School and actually was raised by a faithful, loving, Christian, Lutheran family. So I have not been a member of the Catholic Church all my life. Catholic with a small C. I guess it would be true. Some years ago, quite a few now at this point, I actually was intrigued, I guess, more than anything else, called, if you will, by a good friend who was Catholic and couldn't understand why my faith had become dim and dull. And so I just sort of, you know, started worshiping in the Catholic Church and ultimately joined the church. And now I'm Catholic, small C and capital C as well.
Wow. So, for some reason, I think you either had shared with me in the past, or I had heard it. The topic had come up where I had known that you were a convert, and converts are like, they're stronger Catholics, because it isn't like something like they were raised in the faith. There's something to be said about people that are raised in the faith and they love it from ever since they can remember. But then there's converts who are Catholics that it's like they're intentionally have coming to the faith, which is like the ultimate Catholic thing you can do is to be intentional. So with that, what I like to know for Sandy, how do you keep your fire burning for a Catholic faith? What is it about the Catholic faith that just keeps you coming back all the time?
Well, to sort of begin to try to answer that, I think you're exactly right that people who convert to the Catholic faith do that because they're looking for something.
Right, right.
And when you find it in the church, it's almost overwhelming. I mean, it feels miraculous, which in a sense it is. And so, you know, it becomes intentional. It becomes kind of like the air you breathe, you know. My dad asked me one time a question about being Catholic, and without even thinking, my answer to him was, it's where I fell in love with Jesus. And that's really, in a nutshell, kind of the base, you know, the bones of my Catholic faith. Hmm. And it's what keeps me Catholic, because it happens over and over again, like it was the first time, you know?
Right, right.
So what do I do to keep the fire burning? Well, you know, lots of us, converts and cradle Catholics, if you will, Christians everywhere,
right,
lots of us have these sort of aha moments that bring us back to what was meaningful. But if you want to stay in the aha moment, so to speak, you have to work at it. And
very true.
You know, and some of what we do is sort of simple. We pray. And for me, prayer is I'm learning about it every day. And you know, Jesus promises us that if we stay in prayer with him, if we bring our hearts to him in prayer, that he hears us. And that's just the truth. I mean, I've experienced kind of these moments where whatever things I've been praying for, I go, you know, you'll see something, you'll hear something, you'll hear a scripture reading in Mass that you've heard a million times, and all of a sudden you heard it the first time.
Right, right.
And you know that's the answer to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know it is.
Mm-hmm.
So prayer life is just, it's just essential. Beyond that, you know, this is really a for me.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, I'm a choir junkie. I love music.
Mm-hmm.
I especially love liturgical music. And I love the ancient music. I enjoy very contemporary music, but for me, it's not so much the musicality; it's the words, it's the text. And if the words are there, if the message is there in the text, it can be a tune from 1,000 years ago, or it can be a tune that got written yesterday. I love to sing. Like I said, I'm a choir junkie. Mm-hmm. So when I was working, I moved around a lot from city to city. And I probably should be ashamed to say this, but I usually picked a parish based on how good the choir was.
Hey, well, we all have our preferences.
Or
nothing wrong with that.
What hymnal was in the hymn rack?
Oh, there you go. They usually gather. I'm going to go look somewhere else.
Yeah, something like that.
Right, right.
But yeah, I do love to sing. And been a big part of my worship. That's kind of the ultimate worship for me, is lifting my voice in song.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes there's tears running down my cheeks while I'm doing it, just
sure.
because the text is so meaningful. But
right.
But that's important for me. Another thing that is really important in my life and has been is Bible study. God speaks to us in all sorts of ways, and not to diminish any of those ways. He speaks to us in Scripture, and the more it just takes my breath away sometimes to realize how hard He's worked at trying to communicate to us how much He loves us. Because in the context of studying Scripture, from Genesis 1:1 to the end of Revelation, mm-hmm. His message never changes. It
right.
never changes.
Consistent all the
and
way through.
And connects and connects and connects and connects. That it's just, I mean, you almost have to laugh and go, okay, I get it now.
fine, okay.
Fine, yeah. I know I didn't before, but I do now.
Right, right.
And as you know, I'm a parishioner at Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And we have a number of wonderful Bible study opportunities that they have just become so important to me, because I know that my faith has grown. And when I say faith, it's the assurance that what God is saying to us in Scripture, and what we get in liturgy, and what we get from community with each other, is all true. It's the truth.
Can you, for someone who's listening who may have heard the term Bible study before, but may not be familiar with what a Bible study actually is, who's never been to one, can you kind of give us a more understanding, like a Cliff Notes version of what to expect by attending a Bible study? Because to me, before I ever attended one, I figured, okay, I take my Bible and we read it and we talk about it and that's it. Like I hadn't, before I knew what it was entailed, what was involved, there's a lot more involved than that. But if you can fill in some blanks for us, please.
Well, I will, just from my experience, I can mm-hmm. do that, certainly. Mm-hmm. There are Bible studies just like you described.
Yeah.
We open our Bibles, we read together, we talk about it, and we go home, you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
My personal opinion is it's fraught with danger, because unless somebody in that group is a Scripture scholar,
sure.
Yeah, you can run into some trouble.
And we know there's probably a ton of Scripture scholars just running around out there, right?
Exactly. So. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
But the format, the kind of venue that I like best is Friday morning Scripture study at Holy Spirit. But what we do is Beth will select, Beth Byron, our leader.
Beth is awesome.
Will you know, select a certain book of the Bible, mm-hmm. or in some cases, we may do two or three in a year. We kind of go by the school year, September through May. But we take that Scripture apart, verse by verse sometimes, certainly book by book, chapter by chapter, and talk about What was the author of that book of the Bible trying to communicate to their audience? Look at it in the context of that thesis. You know, what was that person? For right now, we're studying the letter of James, the epistle of James. What was James trying to communicate to the people he was writing to? And then, so part A, you need to understand that. And then part B is, what does that mean to me?
Right.
And what does that mean to me in 2019?
Sure.
You know? And it's, again, it is amazing that an epistle written, whenever it was written, I can't remember.
Sure. Way back when.
long time ago. But it is so relevant.
Now. Yes.
And it's not different. I mean, the message, that the things that are written in Scripture don't change because we're in a new time and place. The connection is always there, and the truth is always there. And this is something I say a lot. The truth never changes. Never changes.
Never.
You know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Mm-hmm. And Jesus never changes. Mm-hmm. So the truth is always the truth.
You know, and to that, it sounds like it's a lot more of a unpacking, if you will.
It is.
You're breaking down and unpacking. You say sometimes verse by verse. You could probably devote a whole Friday morning just to one verse, right?
You can. we usually don't, because we try to get through a chapter.
Right, right.
But yeah, I mean, and the discussions that we have in our Bible study class are amazing. You know, they're just amazing. Everybody there brings their own personal history, brings
right.
their own,
yep.
you know, their own knowledge, the reading that they've done outside of class, things that have happened in their lives that, mm-hmm. that are relative, I mean, that relate to what we're studying, that kind of thing. And it's amazing the depth and breadth and width of the river, you know, that you find yourself crossing.
Yes.
And there's...
Plus, it's also time well spent, right? You know, you're with... you know, like-minded individuals, and you're learning, and it's, you know, what better way to spend time than to do that on a Friday morning? You know, if you don't have a 9-to-5, you know, that's a productive way to spend your time.
So those are the hours of the week that go by the fastest for me.
Oh, I bet.
Absolutely do.
Yeah.
What, we're done already?
Just got here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
Beth always says it's just as much about the coffee as it is about the Scripture. I disagree, respectfully, but I do enjoy the coffee and the conversation and the community
right.
of people that we study with. It's
That's another aspect of a Bible study, is the community / fellowship aspect of it, because it isn't like you go to a class and the only thing the teacher's doing is facilitating conversation, teaching the content, and then once the end time is here, okay, leave. You know, there's fellowship afterwards, during, before. There's it's a lot more than like an actual class per se.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The learning part, a lot of times we do on our own, because we do have homework, and mm-hmm. you know, answer questions that Beth has prepared mm-hmm. before we come bring them to class. But the class time is just invaluable.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So if you're listening, we definitely encourage you. I'm safe and kind of, you know, attaching Sandy to this endorsement here. But, you know, we definitely encourage you to, you know, search out for a Bible study at your parish. You know, there's...
Absolutely.
There's not only classes or sessions at your parish to talk about books of the Bible, but also books written by other authors, you know, Trent Horn, Scott Hahn, Edward Tree, all these different authors as well, in regards to our faith.
People who are Scripture scholars.
Right, exactly. Yeah. The people that are the Scripture scholars, they can unpack this and break it down and go, this is a message we were trying to deliver here. So, exactly. So, we encourage you to search those out, look for one, and give it a try. You know, like we said, it's time well spent. You know, you're going in and getting a cup of coffee, right? Who doesn't want that?
And I would also say, at Holy Spirit, we have different variations, different kind of yes. styles of Bible studies.
Yes.
And I'm sure throughout all the parishes. You know, there may not be that style I was just talking about, but I know at Holy Spirit we've got Bible studies that take Sunday's readings
right.
and unpack them before you hear them again on Sunday.
Right, which is good.
It's very good.
Yes.
I always kind of kick myself when I'm surprised by one of the readings on Sunday. I go, oh, I wish I'd read that before now.
Right, right.
There's all sorts of styles of Bible study. The important thing is it's God's Word.
Indeed, you know? Yeah. Yeah, bottom line.
Yeah.
You mentioned kind of the content in those letters that were written way back when and how they're still relevant now. I have similar experience with that in a kind of a Bible study environment, but I'm helping with the production of these Fulton Sheen lessons. And Venerable Fulton Sheen was around, gosh, in the 50s, I think, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going through 50 lessons of Fulton Sheen. And everything he's saying back then is relevant now. And it's just so mind-blowing how that's the case. You know, and that's just by someone written, you know, by someone that was alive during our time that's documented. There's pictures of him. There's video of him. You know, the same goes for the books of the Bible, where people who were written way a lot longer ago. Just amazing.
It is amazing. And, you know, again, the truth never changes.
There you go. Truth never changes. I like that.
You may use it if you want to.
I appreciate that. Thanks so much. I got that recorded, so we're good. I want to talk about your time with like the musical influence, because when I think of Sandy, I think of you and your guitar. That's what comes to my mind when I think of Sandy Wagner. And I just kind of want to spend some time kind of speaking to you about how that influences you in your faith and how the connection between music and church, how that works for you.
Well, you know, music has been something I've enjoyed all my life. I have a story about the guitar thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When I was in high school, I was a self-taught guitar player,
look at you.
Right? And that was the time when we sang Leaving on a Jet Plane and things like that, right? Mm-hmm. So fast forward to my adult/working career life and moving from city to city pretty regularly. And that guitar always wound up on a moving van, and every time it did, I thought, when am I going to get rid of that thing? I haven't touched it in years and years. So fast forward again, I went on an axe retreat. And obviously a lot of the music is guitar, done with guitar, so you can sort of be portable with it and walk around the room and, you know, go outside or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on a break, I went up to the woman that was playing guitar, and I said, can I just play your guitar for a second? You know, you mind if I just play with it? She said no, and I started playing, you know, a something. I don't even remember what it was. And I mean, it was kind of like I was busted. You know, everybody knew I knew how to play the guitar in
secrets
that moment.
Out.
Secrets out, exactly. And so it was one of those God moments, and I thought to myself, all right, this is something I need to do with that guitar I've been dragging around all these years and, you know, not doing nothing but collecting dust. So so I have. I mean, much of what we know is liturgical music and praise and worship, whatever style of Christian music you like, you know, you can do on a guitar. And that has just, it's been something I have loved doing for lots of, and again, it's the words. It's such a powerful way to communicate. And, you know, when I'm practicing a new song, I will, after I put the guitar back in the case and I got to go wash the dishes or whatever, that song is with me.
Right.
You know?
Right.
In my head, I can't, you know, It's the last thing I'm doing when before I fall asleep is singing that song in my head. So it's just a way for me to articulate my faith to others, mm-hmm. and also speak to my own heart, you know, with my voice and with music.
I've been witness to similar scenarios at an ACTS retreat where a person who's on the retreat walks up to the music ministry and says, "Hey, you know, do you mind if I, you know, play on the drums for a bit?" You know, and that following year, they're on the team in the music ministry. It's like, oh, secret's out, man. You don't know what you're asking for.
Exactly.
You don't know what you're asking for just by saying, "Can I play on the drums?" Because next thing you know, you're going to be on that next team, which I'm sure is definitely the case with you. After the women found out, oh, she plays guitar, you know, they're putting the next team together. What was the name of their retreat? It was playing guitar. You
exactly.
Know, let's give her a call and see if she can help us out this year. And that's kind of the road you go down.
That's what happened. Yep. That's exactly yep. what happened.
Yep. Yeah. And then just to kind of see it happen the following year, like, oh, yeah, that was the guy that was playing the drums at 4 a.m. that one time. Now look at him. He's on the team, and he's playing guitar in the choir now, and that's amazing. You know, you know, using the talents to praise and worship God.
Exactly.
You know, that's beautiful.
All for the glory of God. He
Indeed.
Gave us gifts.
Yep.
Not so we can keep them.
Right. Right. Exactly. You know, songs, you know, have a way of attaching themselves to memories. And you hear a certain song and it takes you right back. You know, it takes you right back to a time in your life, to a person in your life, to a situation in your life, you can almost like you're back there again. You know, you could smell the environment that you're in. You can almost see it, you know, like if you're there. And that's one of the beautiful aspects of music. And that's something that I have even now hearing certain praise and worship songs. I just remember certain times while helping out in an actual church, even times in Mass, where, you know, this song could be played every time in Mass. But there was this one moment that when this song was playing while I was praying, that when I hear the song again, I remember that moment. And it takes me right back there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
God sort of built us that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He knew. I mean, he knows everything. But as Creator God,
mm-hmm.
he gave us ways to remember him. You know, and the whole Jewish life and the Jewish form of worship, and I'm talking about the Hebrew people,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the Old Testament, their form of worship is really a remembering. And those memories are the way that God speaks to us and we can speak to God. It's a sense of, it's like the Eucharist.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it's like the Eucharist, because that's what it is. That is a
do
remembering.
This
do this in memory of me.
Yes. Wow. That's excellent. I like that. That's very good. I like that.
That hit me in Mass on Sunday, just last Sunday.
Really?
Do this in memory of me. I went.
Mind-blowing moment for you.
Exactly.
An aha moment, if you will.
Exactly.
I want to take some time with you, Sandy, to talk about a very special person. Someone that I got to know later in her life. You definitely knew her a lot better than I did, but someone who, even though I didn't know for that long, she made a big impact on my life. And for the listeners, you know, I don't talk a lot about my personal life on the podcast. I've shared before about health struggles and all that other stuff and all that kind of stuff. And I it's not my identity, so I don't talk about it a lot, but it does come up. It just does. So, the first time I met Jane McCabe was at a Bible study, if you will. It's kind of funny that we talked about Bible studies earlier,
right.
And that was the first time I met her. So, since I'm on disability, so I don't have a 9-to-5 job, I don't work. So, as a 39-year-old man, that's kind of odd, right? Because by now I should be in the thick of my career, stressing about work and paying less attention to my family and focusing on work and possessions and all that stuff. But, you know, thanks be to God, he didn't build me that way. So I have more time to appreciate my family. And a part of that appreciation is knowing that I'm the spiritual leader to my family. So I realized that I had to spend time wisely. And so what I did is I found a class that Mary Crockett was going to facilitate. And it was called Oremus, and it was focusing on prayer. Father Mark Tubbs, who's a priest, I believe, in Louisiana, was the focal point of this course, where he was the one facilitating the video lessons. And then afterwards, Mary would facilitate our class discussion. And so this is like a Wednesday morning, like 10 a.m. I walk into the Columbus Room of the Holy Spirit, where there's a school, so I got to go through a special entrance to get permission to go in and go up the elevator. And I walk into a room full of women. So it's funny, me walking into a room full of women who are of retirement age, and then there's me, a guy, and then, oh, are you lost? Like,
I was gonna surely say, to our credit, none of us said, "What are you doing here?"
yeah, and it was a very welcoming experience, and Mary knew I was coming in, so she's like, "Yeah, come on in." And I met Jane, and she's like, I introduced myself, and she's like, "Oh, you're Jason." And she tells me, "I've been praying for you. You're the one I've been praying for." Blows my mind. By this time, I had already gone through a lot of hospitalizations and surgery. I had not yet had my amputation yet, but I'd still had a lot. I'd spent a fair amount of time in the hospital already. So honestly, it was not too uncommon, especially in Holy Spirit, for someone to walk up to me and tell me, "I've been praying for you." You know, honestly, it happens quite often. And for someone to experience that is a blessing in itself. But when Jane told me that, it was very, very sincere. And it was a very special moment for me. And kind of fast forward a little bit, Jane was in a rehab center, and I was helping out with a healing ministry, and we were asked to go and to pray for Jane. And when I got the text and said Jane's name, I said, I'm there. I'll be there. Not as a way for me to return a favor, because I don't think of anyone praying for me as it's a favor. You know, like, "Hey, I need a ride. Can you do me a favor and give me a ride over there? Or can you have a truck? Can you do me a favor and help me move?" That's not what I mean. It was more of a, "Oh, I can reciprocate." And going up that elevator to her floor, it's funny because there was a group of about four or five of us, and we all got in the elevator, and we were waiting for the elevator to kind of start working and to go up. And I was standing in the middle of the two people next to me, and we're just all in this group waiting for the elevator. We're not talking. We're just, I guess, getting in our headspace, right? And I felt compelled to be like, "I wonder if this is what the Avengers feel like when they're about to, like, spring into action. They just all assemble, and they're there, and they're just about to spring into action and do what they do." Like, we all had that collective moment where we all were present together, but we weren't talking. And I just looked around and was like, "I feel like a superhero right now. Like, we're going to go help Jane." I don't know. It was just super cool to me. But I wanted to share those moments with you. And I'd be remiss if we didn't use this time that we have together and not speak about Jane.
I appreciate that, Jason, yeah, from the bottom of my heart. I was there at Mary Crockett's class that morning.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I was there at the rehab center when you guys, yep, came.
Mm-hmm.
And was always apparent that the connections that existed, you know, between you and Jane and Jane and so many others.
Sure.
who knew her and loved her. And of course, you guys shared more than just the moments of prayer together.
Right.
You had, you were dealing with some of the same challenges.
And, right, exactly.
And those kinds of things. So, just another connection. But one of the things that, and probably, I mean, not one of, it was the principal thing that attracted me as a friend to Jane, was her ability to live life in a prayerful mode.
Mm.
I mean, her life was a prayer.
Right.
And it wasn't like a lot of mine are, I confess, you know, Lord, do this for me, Lord, do that for me.
Sure.
You know, I heard Jane pray for nearly 40 years.
Wow.
And she prayed for, and these were the words she used often, the whole world.
Wow.
But that's when she was not praying for us one by one, name by name, you know, or group by group, that kind of thing. But she had a calling from the Lord not unlike your own, that she united with the sufferings of her Lord, our Lord, and turned it into a prayer for the whole world, I mean, for the benefit of all of us. She was just a remarkable woman.
Yep.
Still is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's not with us anymore.
Right.
But I get a glimpse of her every so often.
Mm-hmm.
Not long ago in my backyard, I had a butterfly the size of a squirrel.
Whoa.
On one of my bushes, and I said, is that you? those kind of, I mean, that's kind of a silly thing, but the remarkable nature of her life,
yep,
it certainly touched mine in a profound way. I mean, I'm Catholic today because of her.
Mm.
Again, her effect on my life was
right.
Just profound.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that enough. I mean, you know, there really aren't words.
Right. There, it's definitely is one of those times where I'm just fortunate to be in her presence. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yes.
I do. I felt that way myself many, many times. Can I tell you a quick story?
Please do so.
On an axe retreat,
uh-huh.
When we were both on team, in fact, it was the first time, I was playing my guitar and doing music,
mm-hmm.
and Jane was doing other things,
mm-hmm.
So we hardly saw each other through the whole retreat weekend. So fast forward to Sunday afternoon, after the Mass, the return Mass, we're at home, and we're talking about the weekend, and oh my gosh, you know, and how wonderful it was, and she said to me, how come you music people were practicing at 2:00 in the morning? And I was like, what? I heard you. I heard, you know, every night that we were there at the retreat center, I heard y'all practicing. And I said, no, I don't know what you heard, but it wasn't us practicing. We were sleeping.
Right.
But she began to describe to me what she heard. And she said, sometimes it sounded like guitar music. Sometimes there was singing, sometimes not. But then she began to say it sort of sounded like somebody playing a harp or somebody playing a lyre or somebody. It took on the language of the Psalms,
oh,
you know?
Right.
And I was just sitting there with my eyes bugging out, I'm sure, listening to her, what she was describing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like in the same moment she and I both went, oh, my God. Literally, and I believe this with all my heart, the good Lord, the Lord in his goodness, opened the windows of heaven and she heard heavenly music. Maybe that was just to give her special graces, because what was coming was going to be tough for her.
Right.
It's a remarkable story, but there is no doubt in my mind that she was blessed with a little glimpse of hearing what heaven sounds like.
Wow, that's beautiful.
I know. I told her to save me a seat in the alto section.
In the alto section. The spot's reserved.
That's right. That's right.
That's wonderful.
Hopefully I'll be there one day.
Yes. So with that in mind, I will say this. Eternal rest grant unto them, Lord. And let perpetual light shine upon them. May the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.
Amen. Thank you for that, Jason.
Yes indeed. So we're going to switch gears now and go to our parting questions.
All right.
So these are the questions that I ask all of my guests, just to kind of get to know a little bit about more you. I've definitely gone to learn more about you already, but this is just a way to kind of expound on that and just learn more about Sandy. So Sandy, if you could have a superpower, what would it be and why?
I'm not sure this is going to be particularly enlightening, but if I could have a superpower, I would be able to sing like an angel.
Mm.
I mean, just, you know, the kind of vocals that when you open up, everybody goes, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some of those in our presence, you know, at Holy Spirit.
We do.
We're so blessed. But I would love to be mezzo soprano extraordinaire, you know, that kind of thing. And the why is, again, it's to share the gifts that God gives you,
mm-hmm.
to share His love, to share His message.
Good
to
one.
To share His grace.
Yes. To help others come closer to Him.
Amen.
Through your voice.
Amen.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Who is your favorite saint?
It has to be Saint Cecilia.
Patron saint of musicians.
There you go.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I took Saint Cecilia as my confirmation name. Not Saint Cecilia. I'm Cecilia. As my confirmation name. And one of the aha moments in my life,
mm-hmm.
is when Bishop Zurich made the sign of the cross on my forehead and said, Cecilia, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. I couldn't breathe.
Wow. Where was that?
At St. Mark's.
Here in San Antonio?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Yes. As someone myself who helps with RCAA, we get to witness that. Every year at Easter Vigil, and it's always a special moment for that to happen.
Oh yes.
Where is the coolest Catholic place you've ever been to?
That's a hard one, to be honest.
You've done your fair share of traveling, from my understanding.
I have. I've been blessed to be able to do that. A couple of places come to mind. First and foremost, Rome.
Yeah.
When I lived in Washington, D.C. for a while,
mm-hmm.
I sang in the choir at St. Thomas More, which is the cathedral in Arlington, Virginia, right across
yes.
the river. And we did a choir pilgrimage to Rome. Huh.
Whoa.
That was a week in heaven for me.
It's like Catholic Disneyland over there.
Yeah, sort of, yes.
Yeah.
But we sang at the Vatican.
Cool.
We sang...
How are the acoustics in the Vatican?
Amazing, to say the very, very least. Yeah. Miraculous, probably.
All right.
It is a special place.
Sure,
But we sang in all of the the major cathedrals, churches in Rome. St. Mary Major was particularly fabulous. We were the choir for Sunday Mass. And, you know, it's an enormous cathedral. Acoustics are amazing. Mm-hmm. I was weeping by the end of that Mass because it was just so emotional. But that obviously is an extremely meaningful experience to get to visit those places and realize that that's home, you know, that's home. But a couple of other places come to mind. One is outside of Naples, Florida. Mm-hmm. Ave Maria University is in, I think the name of the town actually is also Ave Maria. But it's a very small community and built basically around that university. And they have an oratorio there, which is, you know, it's not a chapel because it's much bigger. Oratorio, basically house of prayer. Mm. And that's the kind of place you walk in and you know you're on holy ground. And I love Ave Maria in Florida.
Beautiful. What message do you want to leave our listeners with?
There's so many that you know, we all of the things that we think about in the context of our faith life, I know my faith life is richer when I am clinging to the hand of Jesus. You know, he tells us, just be with me. I'm there. You know, if you can't find me, it's not me that's moved. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So we know that he's never going to change. The truth will never change. If we cling to him and cling to the truth, everything's going to be all right.
Well said. Well said, Jane. Well, thank you very much. I want to thank you for taking time out of your day.
Thank you.
And
Jesus,
sharing with us how you keep your fire burning for our Catholic faith. In John 3:30, we do find that he must increase, I must decrease. I want to thank executive producers for this week's episode, Dr. Jeff Vista, Mr. Christopher Lehman, and the 2019 Men's Acts team. Thank you, gentlemen, for your continued support of the John 3:30 podcast. Through your support, we are able to continue to record these episodes and have them uploaded and released every single Friday. You gentlemen have helped make them possible. Thank you once again. We are going to go ahead and wrap up this week's episode the way the Nunez family ends our time in Mass every time we attend, and that is by saying the intercessory prayer to St. Michael the Archangel. So here we go. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl around the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Amen.
Sandy, once again, thank you.
Thank you.
Everyone, thanks for listening. Have a good rest of your day, and God bless you all.
So he can increase. is the center of my life. He must increase, he must increase, he must increase.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I hope you've enjoyed listening to some of my podcasts here at Breadbox Media. But today I'm speaking to you about a different opportunity. In September 2020, I'll be leading a fantastic pilgrimage cruise from Rome to the Holy Land, and then on the way back, stopping at the cities of St. Paul, Ephesus, Athens, Corinth, and more. While we're at sea, I'll be lecturing on the Gospels, history or mystery. When we're on land, I'll invite you to join me as we visit all of the holy sites, celebrating Mass, worshiping together, and having a wonderful time of fellowship. If you'd like to know more about this pilgrimage cruise, go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com, go to the right sidebar, and you'll see a picture there which invites you to get more information. Go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com, right sidebar, click on the picture of the cruise ship, and you'll get all the information you need. Alternatively, you can call the company that's organizing the tour at 800-247-0017. 800-247-0017. Ask for Father Longenecker's Cruise to the Holy Land. Thanks for listening.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.